Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals, number 199 and counting. And we are going to be rocking the airwaves again this evening. We're not going to give up. The animals deserve to be treated with dignity and respect, and we're up on this platform, and we're standing up for them and speaking out for their animal rights, and they should be granted, not denied. So we're going to keep going here. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online. You can go to that right now. There's an article on this show tonight with Watchdog Mary, a.k.a. Mary Swagger. You can share from the bottom of the article to other social media sites 24/7. If you there's a search engine, you can put in their Voices Care for Animals. Or you could put my name in there, Debbie Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R, and I am the host and producer of Animal Advocates Radio. Welcome, everybody, aboard. I hope you enjoy this, another great show. Also on the PPJ Gazette, it is Marty Oakley's website, and you can also subscribe, free subscribe on there, just on the right-hand column. There's a follow link, and every time there's a new podcast coming up, it will be delivered to your primary email. And also on Blog Talk Radio, if you search Voices Care for Animals or Animal Advocates Radio or my name, Debbie Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R, all the links should pop up, and you can share and listen 24/7. This is an awesome podcast, Blog Talk Radio. A big thank you to them. But I want to go ahead and give a big shout out to some very important Facebook pages here that help promote my shows every Thursday, and all the teamwork and all Deb Podamano out there. She's doing a great job and helping me. I call her my press agent, but But anyway, all the family and friends, and I mean, this list is long for all the social media and all these amazing guests that have come on, the callers, the amazing callers and the amazing, you know, all you listeners out there, animal lovers, a big shout out to you, advocates, for all you're doing for them, stepping up to the plate and taking action and getting everything that, you know, the rights to be granted and to live in comfort and free from fear, you know, anxiety, torture, and neglect, abuse. And there is still a lot going on out there, so we all have to stick together as one and make our voices heard. If you come in or you have to leave this show tonight, you can always go back. All shows are archived. And the main website is www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescarryforanimals. And just press what show you would like to listen to. Wait a minute for it to download, and it will play. So you can share on the left side of the screen to other social media, Facebook, Twitter. You can make copies. You can email it, and across is all of them. LinkedIn, WordPress, Pinterest. This list is long. So everyone, I want to go through just real quick on the Facebook pages. Take action, help ban animal gas chambers on Facebook. And Megan Mason and Holly Smith, thank you for all you're doing. Check out these pages, everyone, when you get a chance. If you haven't already, press like and see how you can help out. There's my group, Voices Care for Animals. And thanks, a big thank you to all you admins out there that's helping me out where I can't be there all the time. But the Paul's Call Show, we got the Fans of Animal Rights, Arlene. Thank you, Arlene. Help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. That's Debbie Eisman and Evelyn Pendle. Thank you for all you're doing. Voices for Animals. And we also got the Pit Bull Advocate that on Facebook and also on Blog Talk Radio Show. Patrick Bowler and Joe Frazier and Diane Lynn Alco, thank you all for all your support. They always mention my show on their radio station. I do. I'm doing the same. It's called teamwork, and teamwork wins, and teamwork rocks. We just have to stick together and be voices for all these animals. Voice for Animals on Twitter, Sean Walters, a big, huge thank you for you and all you're doing. But we're just going to be one more show next week and then close down for Christmas and New Year. So we're going to take these two shows and we're going to be rocking and everything. So, and a big, huge shout out to my mother who's listening tonight, Pat Dahmer, a beautiful woman inside and out, loving and caring. Thank you, Mom, for all your support also, because that's what we need and, you know, to make it through this. And see these animals, you know, get to comfort zone, be treated right out there. And tonight's show, we got Welcome Back, Watch Dog Mary, a.k.a. Mary Swagger. She is awesome. All award-winning investigative journalist writing about animals. She has been on TS Radio, Marty Oakley, where I was the host of 163 shows. Thank you, Marty Oakley, for all you have done. Voices Carry 117, number 126, number 138, number 162, and 168. And tonight's show, number 199. I want to welcome her aboard again this evening. Watchdog Mary is an investigative, more than 20 years experience. Mary has won more than two dozen local, regional, national, and international journalism awards for investigative consumer feature reporting and writing, including 14 Emmy Awards and 7 Edward R. Murrow Awards and numerous Associated Press honors. Mary is now watchdogging for animals. Her articles have helped dozens of dogs on death row and revealed shocking conditions and mismanaged municipal shelters across the country. I want to welcome you, Watchdog Mary. How are you doing this evening? Welcome back. So glad
Thanks,
to have
Debbie.
You.
Thanks, Debbie. I'm doing well. Thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. You know, I'm just getting ready for the Christmas holidays and going to roll and help these animals, bringing another radio show in 2019 and lining up some more great guests. Going to keep going, you know. But you want to tell the audience a little bit about yourself, just refresh their memory and how you got started. And you're amazing at what all you do. And congratulations on all
goodness.
Those awards. That is so heartfelt.
Thank you. Well, you know what? When it comes to writing about and helping animals, it's definitely a team effort, and you're definitely a huge part of the overall team, and I think all your listeners are, and I think that there's a lot of people out there who want to be on the animal helping team, but sometimes they don't know exactly how they can do it. And how I started is I've been a journalist for years in television and also in print. And I did investigative and consumer stories, and I still do those. And I was writing some national consumer columns. And I started to get emails from people because I would ask for story ideas and tips. And I started to get emails and inquiries from people saying, you know, you should look into this animal shelter, or you should see what happens to the animals in such and such community. And I started kind of opening my eyes and looking around. And what I saw was there were a lot of animals that needed some help. And so I kind of shifted some of my focusing to animal writing. And I write some national columns, and I have a website. It's watchdogmary.com. And as you get more and more involved in the animal world, your eyes just open farther and farther and farther. It's incredible. And I'm sure you've noticed that as well.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, that's a big plus for, you know, because we know, Watchdog Mary, we are not spinning our wheels. We're seeing changes happen, whether, you know, we was involved in them or not, they're coming in. So we are being listened to, you know, and doing every effort out there to help them. Because just like the children and the elderly, they're voiceless, helpless, defenseless, you know, and innocent. So if we have to step up to the plate and do what's right out there, not what's wrong, what's right, and feel their pain and take action, you know, that's the main thing. And, you know, all these efforts.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, all these effort, whatever anybody can do, just like you were saying, they would like to get involved, but they don't know where to start. And, you know,
well, I'm going to tell you how people can get involved and where to start. And it's not, you know, donate $5 a month to this rescue. Of course, that is absolutely needed and necessary. But there's actually so much that you can do locally. I don't think people even realize it. So, yeah, keep donating to the nonprofits. But I'm going to tell you how you yourself can get involved and even be your own community.
Good, yes. And that's what this show does, awareness and education and how you can help out. And, you know, every effort counts. Everyone, you know.
Absolutely. And so, I think a lot of people see, like, the sad commercials on TV with the sad Sarah McLachlan songs playing in the background, and you see the shivering and sad animals. People might see the urgent posts on social media of dogs in shelters with the clock ticking on their heads as to the date they're going to be euthanized. And people think, okay, you know, I can donate to that organization, which is great. All the nonprofit rescues and groups rely on that. And people can share a post, which absolutely does help, because the more things spread on social media, the more awareness is raised. So those are great ways to get involved. But sometimes a lot of people say, how can this be happening? Someone should do something about this. And I'm going to tell you how you, everyone who's listening, can actually do something about this. When you hear statistics like millions of dogs and cats and animals get killed in shelters every year across the United States, it really stuns a lot of people, but it kind of seems like a statistic. And you think, oh my gosh, how can I even change that? And this is how. You need to figure out what's going on in your city, your town, or your county. And you have to figure out, how does my community handle animal control? Because everything in the United States is done at a local level. Most cities and towns and counties and communities have some system of animal control, whether there's a city shelter where strays and owner surrenders go, or maybe there's a county shelter, maybe there's a nonprofit rescue that takes in your community's strays and owner surrenders. But what you have to first figure out is, how does it work in my community? Because you can make the biggest impact in your community. And what everyone who is listening should do is make a simple call tomorrow or shoot a simple email to their local town, their city, their county, and say, how does animal control work in our community? Do we have a local shelter? How does it work? And what you should then, they can tell you what the system is. And in some cities and towns, there's a police department that oversees animal control. And the animal control officers are police officers. Sometimes it's the Department of Health. Sometimes it's a county agency. And, you know, there might be in a rural area where the local sheriff handles it. And maybe they use a nonprofit shelter to contract for animal control. Or maybe they bring the dogs to the neighboring city, or maybe there's a county shelter. So you have to figure out first, how does it work and where are the animals housed? And then you need to start asking some other questions once you kind of figure out how it works. And you need to figure out, ask questions like, okay, I get how it works. I get where the strays are brought and who oversees this system. And once you figure out who oversees this system, ask them things like, okay, how many animals came in last year, let's say, or year to date this year? How many dogs, how many cats came in? And they'll give you an overall number. Then say, how many of those were returned to their owners? How many were transferred to rescue groups? How many were euthanized? And why? Why were they euthanized? Were they sick? Was it for space reasons because the shelter was too full? And those are some critical questions. But if you want to make a difference and all those sad statistics that you hear and all those horrible posts you see on Facebook of poor dogs in need, you need to start in your local community. And once you kind of get the numbers, you can kind of try to gauge, okay, my community is euthanizing a small number of animals, or wow, my community is euthanizing a lot of animals. Nathan Winograd started the no-kill revolution, and American Pets Alive have followed up on this, and they've done some tremendous programs. But they say that you should look for a 90 to 98% no-kill rate. And that means that the dogs and cats aren't euthanized because a shelter is full, or some even call it convenience killing, meaning, well, we couldn't get a rescue group for this dog or cat. No one came to adopt them, and the shelter's getting full, so we're just going to have to euthanize them. So you need to kind of crunch the numbers. But if you want to make a difference in the big picture of all the sad commercials and posts and sad statistics that you hear, you have to know what's going on. And then if something seems concerning, you have to be the one who calls for change in your community and even expose what's going on. Because if everyone starts to figure out what's good and bad in their community and then push for change, that is the only way that you can kind of be one piece in the bigger picture crisis in a lot of these communities in the United States when it comes to animal control and euthanizing animals. And Debbie, I'm sure you've heard over the years these numbers, which can be pretty terrifying when you hear the numbers of dogs and cats euthanized in shelters across the country.
That's sad. I've read where, like, what is it? I've read different places. I don't know what the exact number is, but 5 to 7 million healthy adoptable animals get put down a year, 7 to 9 million. Oh, but Rod's Dog Mayor, that is so sickening. That is so, you know, it's not acceptable. We got to, I mean, spay and neuter your pets, everyone. You know, adopt, don't shop. Do help be their voices, because a lot of these, you know, give them like a couple days, you know, to get them out in the social media, and there's tons of them out there. Have you seen how many are running through every day? So it's got the numbers up to everyone. It's so heartbreaking what's going on.
I'm actually just looking up some stats about this, and the ASPCA says approximately 6.5 million companion animals enter U.S. shelters nationwide every year. Of those, approximately 3.3 million are dogs and 3.2 million are cats. And they estimate that about 1.5 million shelter animals are euthanized, about 600,000 dogs and 800,000 cats. So that's a lot of animals, if you think about it. That's really staggering. And there is definitely a way, and I want to kind of expand on this a bit, that people, if you're hearing me talk about how to do this, about how you can actually do this. And I'm going to talk to you a bit about public records requests, documenting things, how to kind of call for change in your community, because it's kind of a multi-step process. And there's actually a page on my website, if you go to watchdogmary.com, if you click on how to investigate your local shelter and why you should, I kind of outline all of this. But I definitely want to talk a bit about this. And then I know people can also call in and they can run things by us. They can ask us questions, Debbie, and things like that. So if somebody wants to call in, when do we open the phone lines? In about 10 minutes or so?
Yes, around 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So
perfect.
Everyone write this number down, 310-982-4270. Just press 1 and I'll let you in. I'm going to take calls at 7:30 if anybody wants any comments or questions for Watchdog Mary. And that number is the same every Thursday, so you could store it. And it's an hour show. You can pass it along to your friends. You can also use Skype, and you can listen in worldwide, unlimited listeners. So at 7:30, we will be taking calls. So go ahead, Watchdog Mary.
So the first thing you should do once you figure out how local animal control works in your community, and I want to stress that this is all public record. So if you're somebody that, let's say, has kind of been a squeaky wheel to your local government, or you suspect maybe your local government isn't exactly playing by the rules, or they're not the most friendly, or you find out animal control is run by the unfriendly police chief, let's say, or something like that, everything that I'm about to talk about is absolutely public record. So if someone starts to stonewall you or says, I don't have to tell you that, or is going to be a jerk about it, you have every right to get this information. And you remind them as nicely as you can that this is public record. I run into this all the time. I run into communities that are very willing to share their numbers and say, you know, we euthanize 50% of the dogs in our shelter and we're not proud about it and we need help. And if someone can tell you that, that's great, because that means they're open to change and they want help. But sometimes I've had shelters tell me, we don't have to tell you how many animals we euthanize a year. And, you know, and I kind of, I don't know why I still get mad about people trying to hide information from journalists, but I get mad every time. And then I calm down and I laugh and I remind them it's public record. So I remind them it's public record. And you can put your request in writing. A lot of communities just take it in email, and you just simply say, you don't have to be an attorney to make a public records request. Anyone can make a public records request. You don't have to be a journalist, a reporter, an attorney, or anyone. You just simply type out, this is a public records request under the state law, and you can insert your state here, whatever it is, under Michigan state law, under Texas state law, because every state has public records. Sometimes they're called sunshine laws. Every state has one of those. And you simply say, this is a public records request. You know, these are taxpayer-funded programs. So the communities have to tell you what's up. And then you ask them for the numbers. You ask them for the total number of dogs and cats that were taken in, and then the outcomes of each of those. And then you start looking at the numbers, and you do a little bit of math. And like I said, 90 to 98% of the dogs coming out alive, meaning that they're returned to their owner, they're transferred to a rescue group, they're adopted. Perhaps the shelter has a foster program or go to a foster. Those are the good outcomes. And if you're seeing 90 to 98% of the dogs and cats leave out the front door, so to speak, and not being euthanized, then that would be a pretty good kind of basis for comparison. And those are the numbers that the No-Kill Revolution and American Pets Alive have come up with as kind of a good benchmark to kind of evaluate a shelter, and that makes sense. And then if you find that your local shelter, you know, their percentages of, they call it the live release rate. Again, that means the number of animals leaving the shelter alive is low or alarming, then that's how you can kind of figure out if there is a problem in your community and they might need help. And then what you kind of do from there is I would always stress, be nice, be polite, be businesslike. Because that's going to, the old adage about you catching more flies with, or bees with honey, definitely is applicable. A lot of times, it's a community might not be doing the best job it could be because of budget reasons. Sometimes they'll say, you know what, this is run by the police department, and we can barely pay the animal control officer anything. We can't afford to house these animals longer than their three-day stray hold. So if nobody comes on day three for these animals, and if a rescue group doesn't come to get them or someone doesn't come adopt them, we have no choice. We have to euthanize them because we can't afford to house them. And you'll hear that. And then sometimes some shelters practice kind of what's called, and it's heartbreaking, catch and kill animal control, where they just don't care. They pick up the strays, they lock them up, they do no outreach. There's no advertising saying, like, this collie was found on Main Street on Tuesday, is this your dog? There's little outreach. So if the dog, you know, did scoot out the back door while someone was bringing in groceries, which actually happened to one of my dogs once, he just ran away to a local pizza shop, so they called me, so it was good. But even the most responsible pet owner's dog or cat might just get out one day, and they're completely responsible. It's just one of those crazy things that happened. But those are called catch-and-kill animal control facilities, and they're going to be the challenging ones to deal with because they just don't care. But what you have to do then, if you find that your local community isn't doing the best job in terms of statistically releasing as many dogs and cats alive as they could be, you need to go and sit down with them and say, look, you know, I reviewed the numbers, and I'm concerned about this, and I want to help. And you probably will have to try to mobilize some other concerned volunteers about this who also might care. And you can discuss with them ways to improve it. And if the person in charge of the municipal or the county shelter says, look, it's a budget thing, you can talk to them about fundraising, about networking with rescue groups, about pushing for the city council or the county council to put more funding in it. The residents of Waco, Texas, for example, they pushed recently in the past couple of years for their community to become no kill. And they raised awareness about what was going on in their local shelter. They mobilized residents of the community. They went to the town council and said, we need to do better. And you know, they asked for more money, and it got more attention. I think the community got involved in fundraising. You know, you can get people to volunteer. If the local shelter says, you know what, it's just one person in charge of the shelter, and he or she doesn't have time to care for the dogs, to take pictures, to post them on social media, to network with rescue groups, then you can say, okay, let us help you. Let us get volunteers. You don't have to pay us. You know, we'll help network these animals for you. And a lot of communities do that. I was just messaging with a woman in Texas who posts all these, who goes into her local shelter, and she takes pictures of the dogs that are in there, and the city has a Facebook page, and she posts them in her local community as a helper to the community to try to save the most dogs that she can. Her name actually is Donna Jones, and she is trying to do this in the Bonham Shelter in Bonham, Texas. And she goes in there, and she takes pictures of all the dogs, and she posts them on social media. And she says, you know, I'm looking at a post that Donna Jones just put up, and it says Roxy, female Yorkie, picked up his stray. And then somebody can say, oh, my gosh, that is my dog. We've been looking for that dog. Or if the dog doesn't get saved, she can network the dog with rescues and on social media and things like that. So there's plenty of people that do that in the smallest town shelters and in the largest town shelters. There's people I know that go into the big, huge city shelter in San Antonio, Texas. And even though San Antonio and San Antonio Pets Alive totally posts pictures of the dogs and cats on their website and social media and stuff like that. Other people will go in and just take extra videos of the dogs or bring the dogs out into a play yard and say, okay, look at this dog. Here's how he interacts with other dogs. And, you know, he seems like he's dog friendly, because, you know, the more information rescue groups and adopters have, the more chances a dog will be saved. So you can totally get involved that way. Another way that you can get involved is you can call the local media. You can go and find a local newspaper reporter, a television reporter, and you can say, you know, here you go. Here's what I got from the city, the town, or the county, and here's the numbers of dogs that, and cats that they're euthanizing a year, and this concerns me. You know, could you do a story about this? And they'll probably want to see what you received in your public records request and numbers. They'll probably, just to verify them, will, you know, call the local, you know, government agency, or they'll request the numbers themselves to verify it. And, you know, hopefully they can do a story. And sometimes when things are going on, that can be a huge catalyst for change. And so you can totally do this in your local community. And if everyone who's listening, if you don't know how your local community handles animal control, I urge you to go out tomorrow and figure out how it's handled, what the numbers are, and how, and kind of evaluate how your community is doing. I get a lot of other people that come to me, and I have to apologize, because sometimes I get so many messages from people on my Facebook page. I try to keep up as best as I can, but like we were saying earlier, I mean, it's great. I totally want tips, and I totally want people to message me and let me know what's going on out there. I'm just a one-woman show, so I try to keep up as much as I possibly can. But I have a lot of people who email me, and they say, you know what, this shelter is in horrible condition. You know, the dogs and the cats look malnourished. They're being kept in dirty conditions. The cages are too small. No one's cleaning these cages. They're messy. You know, there's dog excrement in there. It's really bad. If you notice this in your local community, I would say go in, because people should be allowed into their municipal shelter, and document it. Take your smartphone in. There's the advances on cell phones and the quality of pictures and video they take these days is amazing. And snap some pictures and take some video. Maybe go in on multiple days and kind of document. Go in for a week straight. Just duck in and see what's going on. And document what's going on. You know, you probably would need more than one day. You know, perhaps they haven't cleaned the kennels on the day you noticed it. And then the same rules apply as what I was saying earlier. If you find a shelter that's keeping dogs in bad condition, go and talk to the local community leaders. Go talk to the person in charge and just say, guys, you know, I've documented this for a week. I found X, Y, and Z. It concerns me. You know, what can we do about this? And if they don't work with you, find that local media outlet. Find that reporter. People also can post what they've found on social media, and tremendous changes have been made because of things that have been posted on social media. Years ago, started doing animal reporting, people from Kennedy, Texas emailed me and messaged me, and there was a social media post about somebody that just had a bad feeling about how animal control was being handled in their local shelter. They went down to their local shelter, and they saw a horror show. Live dogs were being kept like in the same cages with dead dogs, and dogs that had just passed away in the shelter. I mean, the pictures are horrifying. The story's on my website. And so I got involved, and you know, there was some resistance from the town at first, or the city at first. But then the local community was really mad about this. Everyone band together, and now they have a no-kill shelter down there. So sometimes, and the same thing happened in Magnolia, Arkansas. They had a whole disaster on their hands as well, where there were tons of dogs housed together, and some were alive, some were dead, many were sick. It wasn't working, the system that they had, and pictures and video that people took and posted and went to the media with, it was a huge catalyst for change. And a lot of these places turn themselves around. Sometimes the local community just doesn't really understand how to do animal control. And they need somebody to just say, hey, you know, let's talk about better ways to do this. I spent a lot of time years ago talking to the mayor of Magnolia, Arkansas, about how animal control can work successfully. And because, you know, if you think of all the different things cities and towns and counties have to handle, there's the police, the fire, the schools, traffic, you know, just the day-to-day stuff, they, you know, animal control might have gotten put on the back burner. And so everyone listening and everyone out there should go and try to figure out what's going on and put it on the front burner if there's not a great system in place. And if you go and investigate and you find that your local community is doing a great job, I'm sure they could also use help. Every single shelter I've ever talked to could always use help. And if your community is doing a great job, maybe see what's going on the city next to you, because this definitely is such a hyper-local issue. You know, one town could have a great system, and then the town next to it could be abysmal. So that's why you really just kind of have to get involved. And if everybody did that, and if everyone figured out what was going on the local level, and they called for change and pushed for change, if everyone did that, it would make such a difference nationwide. And that's really the best way to handle it is locally, since animal control is handled locally. Does that right. kind of make sense?
It makes sense. Watch Long Mary. Totally. You know, it just what you can't just close your eyes to what you know things that's going. You know, they're just doing wrong or missing out on. We have to be the animals' voices because they can't tell them. You know, we have to do mm-hmm. it for them. You know, more unity in the community. How's that one? Come together, you know, go
exactly.
out there, you know what's going on, you know, and make sure these animals are getting treated fairly because, Watchdog Mayor, we're living in a very non-trusting world out there. There's good and bad people in every race, religion, profession, you know, none of them excluded. So we got to weed out the bad here and keep the good in there and in charge and looking after them. And that's in every angle, you know, so we cannot
yeah.
give up and let them be treated fairly every day. I mean, every hour, not just, you know, skipping out this day they're good to them and this next day they're bad to them. No, that's not good. Because they, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's an animals here, you know, adoptable. And everyone out there, and I've noticed, Watchdog Mary, that I've seen it on, you know, on heard it on, like, FM stations where they're having adoption events. I love hearing that stuff, you know, even on the TV where they're trying to get them adopted. You know, different events where there's, you know, maybe refreshments, they have the animals, and they have lower, you know, adoption fees, and it's just, you know, trying to get these animals to safety in a TLC home. You know, they so well deserve. So, in newspapers,
yeah,
I've seen them in newspapers, too. So, but if anybody wants to call in and have any comments or questions for Watchdog Mary, please call area code 310-982-4270, press 1 and I'll let you in. Try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations. You're more than welcome to come on board. And, you know, Watchdog Mary's working hard out there. Watchdog Mary, I'm Pitbull Debbie. I'll always be Pitbull Debbie. You know, I've been saying that on the shows, especially on the Pitbull Advocate. You know, stop dog fighting and chaining and, you know, and I approve this message. I'm Pitbull Debbie. I love that. I love your name, especially Watchdog Mary's, you know. And so,
well, you know, I used to be, when I started,
doing.
I was Consumer Watchdog Mary. And then once I started really getting into writing about the animals, I dropped the consumer part. So now it's just Watchdog Mary. But one of the things, if you are going to take the steps and kind of see what's going on with your city and town, one of the things I can't stress enough is always stay professional. You know, if you have a long-standing feud with the police chief, you know, don't get into old battles. Just be professional. Stick to the facts. Stick to what's in the documentation. You know, that's the best way to kind of talk to people. You know, if you go in and speak to the mayor or before the town council, just stay calm and professional. And I know it can be an emotional topic. And I know if you feel like you're not making any headway or you're getting stonewalled, that's very frustrating. And if you feel like officials are trying to keep information from you, I know it's maddening. I found myself getting mad and having to say, okay, calm down. You've dealt with this a million times. They don't want you to know. This is how it goes. You have to play the game. But it's absolutely public record. But just stay as professional as you can about it. And, you know, one of the amazing things that I've seen increase over the past few years, and it's kind of been just a total phenomenon, is the good thing about social media is that people have posted things that concern them, whether it's how their local community is doing with animal control, how many animals they're killing, the conditions of a shelter. Even people who are keeping their dogs outside in the cold on a chain with frozen dishes of water or in the heat, but they post this on social media. People go crazy, and the local officials have to respond. So social media has really become such an incredible tool in terms of helping animals and, of course, a million other issues. But I've really just seen the amount of shelters and rescue groups and people who care about animals, it just is blown up on social media. My feed on Facebook, I used to have it for, you know, social reasons, and now it's a million animal posts. Someone will say, did you say that our friend so-and-so got a new job? I said, no. You didn't see it on Facebook? Nope. It's all about the animals on my feed. That's what I see. So, but, I mean, it's really become a valuable tool to people in terms of saving animals' lives and spreading awareness. And, you know, and even if you want to work with your local animal control and say, okay, I went in and I talked to them, and they need people to come in and take pictures of the dogs. They need people to post the dogs on Pet Finder or Adopt a Pet or on the website. You know, you can go on social media or even on websites like Nextdoor and local community pages, and say, hey, you know, I live in such and such town. I'm trying to help our local shelter. They need people to take pictures, to walk the dogs, to feed the dogs, to post them online. And I bet you'll get people who can help, because some of the jobs you can do from your living room couch, if somebody emails you pictures of the dogs and write-ups, you can pop them right in. So social media can be so valuable in terms of saving animals.
Yes, it can. And let's talk, Mayor. We got a caller calling in from area code 719. You're live
okay.
On the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Go ahead. You have any comments or questions for Watchdog Mary? Go right in.
Hey, Debbie, this is Ray calling. How are you doing this evening?
Good, Ray. How are you? Thanks for calling
in. I'm doing well. Sure.
Yes.
I have a question about the euthanasia rate in a town that I've been dealing with. And I'm very concerned about, they list more dogs killed at owner request. Now, when an owner requests an animal to be euthanized at a shelter, isn't there some sort of form or something? Because I'm concerned that they're lumping all these animals into that group to show their numbers lower, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, here's the thing. Just because an owner – so this is what I've seen in my years of experience. Sometimes, and sadly, owners drop the dog off at the local shelter to be euthanized so they don't have to go through it or deal with it themselves. It's really sad. You know, they've dropped off 14-year-old dogs with cancer. Like, here you go, pal, dropping you off at animal control. Good luck.
Yeah.
But shelters do not have to euthanize. If an an animal, if an owner comes in and says, yeah, I want this dog euthanized, there are many shelters who will, you know, evaluate the dog. You know, they have to ask why. And if, you know, if the dog, well, he killed five people, okay. But, you know, or if he has terminal cancer and has days to live. I've seen a lot of shelters advertise. San Antonio, for example, there's plenty of people that have brought in sick and old and hospice case dogs. And they will post them and say, you know, dog probably has cancer. Owner brought dropped off to euthanize the dog. You know, is there a rescue group or someone that wants to help this dog? And there have definitely been rescue groups and people who have said, you know what, I'm going to go in, I'm going to get that dog, we're going to bring the dog to our own vet, have them looked at, and if this dog does have terminal cancer or doesn't have long to live, I'm going to bring the dog to McDonald's. The dog can have 5 quarter pounders, and we're going to bring them to the vet, and they're going to, you know, leave this world with someone who cared, not on a cold shelter floor. So
right.
Just because the owner requested it, there's many shelters that say, okay, thank you. I mean, there's tons of stories on the internet, if you just Google it, about vets who had people bring in their animals, and they say, like, okay, you know what, I want to euthanize this dog. And the vet will say, like, okay, and they won't. You know, sometimes the shelters might say, one of my dogs that I adopted from Puerto Rico, her story is that he was like a backyard breeder, brought her in, a one-year-old beautiful lab, and said, I don't want this dog anymore. And they said, well, we're so full, we're going to have to euthanize her. And he's like, okay. And he signed the papers, and they're like, well, there's a $60 fee. And he's like, okay. And he signed the papers, and he left, and a rescue group just happened to walk in 5 minutes later, and they were going to take a bunch of smaller sized dogs, but they saw her sitting there and they thought, well, we can't leave her. And they, you know, that's what you do sometimes in rescue. You think like, oh God, all right, just get in the van. We'll deal with this. So they took her, put her in the van. You know, they said, this is a perfectly good dog. And they put her up for adoption, and I adopted her. So my own dog was one where the owner signed her over to be euthanized because the shelter was full, and they didn't. And she's been living with me for 7 years now. Great dog. So
well,
I agree with you. I think that's very fishy.
This shelter is killing more, like 300 and some dogs, and then listing them under.
They bring in?
Pardon me?
So they kill 300. Like, what would you say their live release rate is? If they kill 300, do you know how many dogs they've taken in a year?
I don't remember that number, but their live release is like 70-something.
Okay. So not
concerned that, you know, they're just listing these dogs that they're killing as owner requested euthanized. And is there a way to get that information?
So everything is public record, and I have literally gone to cities and towns and requested to see all the records, see all the intake records. So you could definitely go and sit there and look at them and see what they say. I mean, does it say, you know, dog cannot walk any longer, has cancer, or, you know, you can read exactly what the reasons are. And I agree with you. I think you absolutely should take a look at that. Are there any dogs that are not euthanized because it was an owner request? Like, are there any other reasons listed?
Just the one that caught my eye was the owner requested euthanized, because it was such a high number at a monthly rate that I was just dumbfounded by that number. You know, and
it appears
that it's that high month after month, and it's not a huge city. I mean, it's a good sized city, you know, but like, I'm from Colorado. I live in the Springs, and we're 500,000 residents, and we don't have that high of a kill, you know?
I'd like to see the other numbers, but that definitely. You know, I'd like to see if they list any other reasons for euthanasia. You know, if that's the only reason, that sounds a little fishy. If you want,
yeah,
later you can message me on Facebook or you can email me the numbers, and I'm happy to take a look at them. But I think you have every right to say, that seems weird. And any time that something seems weird, you definitely should ask for more information. You should ask to see the actual records, because there should be like a file for each dog, you know?
That's what I was wondering.
And also, like, were any strays euthanized?
Yeah, I don't remember what was all listed. It's just that number kind of jumped out and hit me in the face, and I just couldn't. I have the records, the monthly reports and stuff, and I'll email those to you.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to take a look at that. I mean, you have to kind of look at everything in the big picture and the big numbers, but that definitely seems kind of weird. And, you know, if you go look at the records and, you know, if some of those turn out to have been strays, then you know there's a problem.
Right.
But that sound like a pretty high number.
That's what I thought as well.
Yeah. And it could be absolutely. Maybe they don't want, you know, they don't want to put the real reason as space reasons. I mean, you can also ask them for more info, like, you know, how long is the stray hold? What do you find out how the system works? Like, what? How long do you take strays? You know, or and hold them, and then what happens at the end of the hold time? How do you network them for adoption? How do you network with rescue groups? Do you have a foster program? You know, you can ask those kinds of questions, and you can even ask them, you know, if the owner requests euthanasia, do you evaluate the dog yourself? You know, if someone drops off a perfectly healthy 2-year-old dog and someone says, you know, I don't want this anymore, you know, you can just euthanize him. Do you do that? You know, because they can have a conversation. You know, sometimes I know some shelters, if someone surrenders an animal, they say, you know, we're going to try our best to find them a home, but there's no guarantee, and we may have to euthanize them. And are you okay with that? And sometimes people just sign the form. I know it to animal lovers it sounds shocking, but that's what happens. And so they, you know, they might mean, you know, owner okayed euthanasia for this dog if it were an owner surrender. And the other thing is that when an owner surrender comes into a taxpayer-funded facility, there's no stray hold on that dog. The owner has signed them over. And some communities, unfortunately, just euthanize those dogs because there's no requirement to hold them. So there isn't like a 3 or a 7-day stray hold where they say, I'm going to have to hold on to this dog for 3 days or 7 days or whatever the period is under local law. And owner surrenders are often the first, sadly, to get euthanized because they know the owner of the dog. So
it definitely sounds
like something that you should definitely, if it feels like a red flag, you should definitely ask questions. And I think that's very wise of you.
Thank you so much. I am going to do that.
Perfect. And if you just go on my website, you can email me through there. It's just watchdogmary.com. And I'm happy to take a look at the numbers. But, you know, and you doing this is exactly how change can be made in the big picture. It might feel very small, like this is just my city or town or county or community. But if everyone does this, that is how change on a nationwide basis can be made. And so for you to do this is changing the system. And if you can change things in your local community, the next person changes things in their community, real change will get made in the big picture. And I think that's what everybody wants. Well, a lot of people who like animals definitely want.
Definitely. All right, Mary, I'll let you get to the next caller, and I really appreciate you taking your time.
Yeah, thank you for looking out and kind of seeing the red flag and think this just doesn't feel quite right.
That's right. And thanks, Ray, for calling in, and thanks for all you do. Westlaw Mary, she's been on the show for a guest before, and looking forward to having her back on in 2019. Right, Ray?
Yeah, that's right.
It's Cats United. What's the name? It's I don't have it right in front of me.
It's Community Cats United, Inc.
Yes, and it's worldwide, or, you know, national, international.
Oh, yeah,
too.
We're in almost every single country. You know, we're everywhere, too, so.
Thanks for all you do, Ray. Thank you.
Thanks, Deb, for everything you do, too.
Nice to talk with you.
You as well,
yeah,
Mary. Thank you.
And what I'll do is suggest you two on as friends on Facebook too, okay?
Sounds great, Deb.
Yep. And keep up the inspiring work you're doing too. All of us together, we can make a difference. We've got to at least try. We can't give up.
Absolutely.
In order to see change, you've got to take action. You've got to be a positive impact on this crazy world we're living in, not a negative and not do nothing. Everything you do out there, it counts. You know, make those phone calls to the politicians. That is so important. Be professional and polite, and you'll get a lot farther. Boy, you know, every
Absolutely.
Voice matters.
Yep.
Every voice
Everyone.
Matters. Yep. Never think that it doesn't, because it does. You know, write emails. You know, write letters. Make them phone calls. You know, set appointments up with them. All this is very important, because if we don't contact the politicians, legislators, they don't think nothing's wrong, and that's not, you know, that's not right. So, and the more voices out there, everyone, the better, the faster changes will be made. You know, sitting still and idle will not get anything done. If you
no,
get
it won't.
And, you know, take action. Let your voice be heard. You will see results. I've been seeing a lot of victories coming through for these animals. And, you know, I stand up for all of them and speak out. So I know I'm not on this radio. I can't take credit, but I am involved. I know I'm not spinning my wheels ever, you know. So when you see changes being made, puts a big smile on your face, and you just keep going, because it doesn't stop here.
You're like the rolling rock that gathers no moss, Debbie.
That's right. That is a good one. That is a good one. I got to remember that one. Yep, I got to remember that one. But, you know, we got 2 minutes, almost less than 2 minutes here, ladies. And I want to thank you again, Ray, for calling in. And keep calling. I love when the former guests, you know, get part of this and call in and give their opinions and stuff. And, you know, the listeners out there, big shout out to all of you who's tuning in. You know, Watchdog Mary, Pitbull Debbie says, hey, you rock, woman. You totally rock. So, and don't give up. Know how strong you are and all the inspiring work you're doing, and all the animals especially thank all of us, you know, so don't give up and never give, you know, if we give up, we automatically lose, so we can't do that. We like them positive changes, those victories that's coming through, you know, changing the lives for the better, the safety and awareness, prevention, that's all comes in together. And making those changes. 202-224-3121 is your, you can find your state representative or senator. Press 1 for senator, press 2 for representative. You have to put your zip code in. You leave a voicemail after hours and open, you know, 24/7. And during the day, just be professional, polite, and you'll get lots of, you know, a lot of better results. So, everyone, Voices Care for Animals on every Thursday live at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listen in worldwide. And you can, all shows are archived on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com. You can search Voices Care for Animals. All 199 show links will pop up. If you do the Animal Advocates Radio, that's when I start on my own in March. The current shows for 2018 are on there. So you can share at the left side of the screen. This one more show next week is Donna Hughes, a singer-songwriter, dog on a 10-foot chain. She's coming back on, and we're going to welcome her back. And then after that, close down for the holidays, Christmas, and New Year's. So let's keep rocking airs for the animals. Thank you, everyone. Have a nice and peaceful evening. Thank you, Watchdog Mary, a.k.a. Mary Swagger. We want to welcome you back in 2019, you and Ray both, okay? And I
hope
that and hope everybody listens in next week and keep this radio show on its success from all of you. You all made it happen. Thank you. Teamwork is the key. Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone, and may God bless you all. Bye bye.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime.
Bye,
you know that. You're so truly welcome.